Yhteistyössä HAM, Helsingin kokoinen taidemuseo, hamhelsinki.fi.
Ja oikein hyvää iltapäivää, arvon kuulijat. Vieraani on saapunut studioon, eli tekstiilisuunnittelija Roosa Tolnow-Clausen. Hei Roosa.
Hei.
Did I pronounce your name anything like it should have been pronounced?
Yeah, pretty much. It's Roosa Tolnow-Clausen.
You are... the title I have been given, it's like a textile designer or textile artist. What would you prefer?
So I prefer textile designer.
Designer, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And can you sort of like, before we go to the thing that we are supposed to talk soon, tell us a little bit about yourself, like about your artistic practice.
Yeah, I'm from Denmark. And I fell in love with Helsinki 13 years ago during an Erasmus stay in Aalto University, where I was basically sitting under a loom at Kangaspuut for half a year to learn to like become a better technical weaver. And then I moved back some years after. And basically my artistic practice is to create spaces for other people to weave.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm very interested in, especially in the Nordic countries, but I've also been working a lot in Asia, how we can make weaving visible and accessible in urban space, and also why people would weave by hand today.
Yeah. When you say weaving, you mean it's not knitting or like doing something with those, how do you call those sticks?
Needles, yes.
Needles, sorry.
Yeah.
So you actually you mean by weaving like making fabrics or what, can you tell something about that?
As a basically, I mean both when you knit or weave or crochet, you make textiles from the base. But it is different processes. So with knitting and crocheting, you kind of make loops that you loop into each other with one stick or two sticks. And with weaving, you work on a kangaspuut, and I think you call it kudonta.
Kudonta, in Finnish, yeah.
So basically, you have usually a much bigger tool, which also requires quite a lot of technical knowledge to put up and to use. And my practice, like, I mean, I think I very much respect all the technical knowledge and all the legacy of and history of weaving. But I also, in my practice, really try to make weaving accessible. Both technically, but also in an urban modern life where you might not be able to commit super long time setting up a loom and preparing everything. So that's kind of what I'm doing.
Well, I have to ask now that you mentioned that, why is it important for us nowadays to make or weave by hand when there are machines that can do it like in a second? Or I don't know if it happens in a second, but faster.
It happens definitely faster.
Yeah.
And I mean, from a monetary point of view, it is cheaper.
Yeah.
But I think that there are many reasons why it has become very important again and very popular. And I think that Corona was really a big kickoff for kind of the popularity of handicraft and textile handicraft, like, exploded. and here in the Nordic countries, and I think, like, also in general Europe, it really exploded. And I think that had something to do with fear and maybe also boredom. At home, being scared, there was some comfort around in the textile. And then I think a lot of communities also started online around textiles. And I know there were a lot of Danish textile designers that got very famous for creating patterns during that period. And then I think that people maybe got hooked at that point.
Yeah.
And then I guess today, there's certainly also something about digitalization and wanting to do something with your hands instead of just being on the computer and phone. Then maybe there's still also a component of fear and like uncertainty in this moment of time.
Yeah, I totally can relate to that idea, like during the corona times or the sort of like whole pandemic thing when it started and what happened to us and all this. Probably all societies and cities, they changed really fast.
Yeah.
The change was so fast, like in 2 days, like the whole Uudenmaa area was closed and like probably I could see like two people on the streets, and it was so fast that it must have had some kind of like a really big impact on our minds as well. Or at least the way that we perceive the world around us. So one thing that came to my mind was when I just listened to you was this, in Finnish there's a word called puhdetyöt, and it means, it's an old word and it means something that you do after a long day at work, usually like in the fields or something that has to do with agriculture. And after a long day at the fields, you come home and then you do the puhdetyöt, which means you are like sharpening the axes and knives, or you are mending something. And it's like something that maybe you are preparing something for the next day, or you are mending something, or you are doing something that is not in itself productive, but you are like... There must be a word in English as well that means something like this, like the whole area of handicrafts that you prepare and mend and something like that. And it's very comforting to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, during pandemic, I learned to mend my socks, like my woolen socks.
Yeah.
And like all kinds of stuff. I even tried to do a sweater, but it didn't work out. It became something else than a sweater. But there is something totally comforting in the idea of doing something by hand.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Like nowadays, even it's not pandemic time, but still, I think the times have changed.
Yeah, I think, so my hypothesis is that earlier when textiles or this kind of practical work was done because of need, there have still been a soothing aspect to it, at least for some. But maybe today... But it has also been a need.
Yeah.
But maybe today we might be more motivated by the soothing part of it. And then we get a textile out of it.
Yeah.
At least that's the case for some people.
Hey, let's talk about the reason that why you have been invited here. Because in Hamm there is a absolutely amazing exhibition right now. Magdalena Abganovic is... what's the name in English? I've forgotten.
Crossing boundaries.
Yeah, thank you. And at the same time that the whole exhibition is on and open, there's a possibility to participate in... maybe you can actually like describe it for me, because there's this kind of like a workshop thing that you can participate in many ways.
Yeah. Yeah, so I have created a spatial installation in Hamm, together with the educational department, based in weaving. So basically we transformed the educational space of the museum, which is normally used for workshops and different educational activities, into one big installation. And we built a huge loom, like the hugest loom that I've been part of building.
How huge is it?
So it's 3D, it's like a square with four sides, of course, which are 3.5 times 2.5 meters.
Okay.
3.5 wide, 2.5 tall on four sides, and you can walk or drive or crawl into it. There are different access points, and then you can weave in it. And the idea is basically to get to try having materials in your hand, either before or after seeing the exhibition, testing out stuff that you saw in the exhibition, but also just to hang out and speak and meet people and
I will now hold on to this question. I'm really like blabbering around because I'm so excited about the exhibition. But Magdalena Abganovic, What is your relationship to her art and her works?
Also, so when I studied design in Denmark, like 15 years ago, I heard her name and saw her work through my teachers, and they had been very affected by her work because she turned around everything we thought weaving was by making huge pieces, organic pieces, monochrome colored pieces, and taking the image and the motive out. It's some of them are almost like creatures or kind of like it seems like something from somewhere else. so I really I could see that she had affected their practices, and of course, their admiration of her affected my practice.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I've heard her name before, but I have probably never seen any of her work live, only pictures. But in her case, the pictures really don't do justice to the work, because when you see the work, it's like actually something that you just have to see and be there.
Yeah.
For that, and I totally recommend just going to and go and see the exhibit many times. It's there until August something. Yeah. Go and see. It's amazing. And as we talked with the creator, it's quite also extraordinary chance to see.
Yeah.
Even the biggest work. So you might actually see something like historically unique.
As I haven't seen her works in live before, even though there's been exhibitions around in Europe, I think it's a quite unique opportunity to see the work and so much of it.
And now, when you have the workshops, that you can spend time there, like
all the time,
all the time, basically. So, when are you here, like doing the whole like? Exhibition, you will be staying here in Helsinki.
So actually, I live in Helsinki.
Okay, you live in Helsinki.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry, it was about that. No problem. So it was a really lucky coincidence that I was invited to do this collaboration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So let's talk about more this sort of the weaving club, Kudontakerho. That's the name in Finnish. Weaving club in English. What's happening in there? When I go and see. And no, go and see, go and participate in one of the sessions. What happens?
Yeah, basically it's open every day. It's staffed from Tuesday to Saturday, so there's always somebody there who can teach you if you want to. But you can also just go in and weave. On Sundays it's not staffed, but you can go and weave anyways. So you arrive and you get an introduction, you choose materials. We have a lot of different materials also connected to Abakanovic work in a lot of different colors. And then you basically start weaving. And what we can see is that's attracting a lot of different people who hang out in the space and also hang out for a long time. And they also come back, some of them. So it's really interesting to see how that opportunity has really been welcomed.
So what kind of sort of meetings or when you go there on you yourself as an artist, how have you sort of like, what kind of moments have you had with people there?
So I was there yesterday because already some of the warps, that's the thread on the loom, had to be changed because it's been filled because of so many participants. And I just, one example of a conversation was two British ladies standing weaving, and one tells the other one, this reminds me of my grandfather. We used to go to the fields and pick wool and cart the wool, spin it and weave it, and then we went to sell the textiles. So and the other one responded, oh, this you never told me.
Yeah.
So like, I can really see that a lot of memories are activated in people, especially elderly visitors.
Yeah.
And then I see a lot of families hanging out. So I was there Sunday with my son, and I just saw families sitting around on the floor weaving together, like fathers and mothers and children. So they really enjoy spending that time together, clearly. And then I've also observed that there's a lot of people within education, as from schools and kindergartens and art schools, that are very interested in creating a loom this way. Yeah. And then they start talking in the space and share experiences. So last week it was a woman from the US, and I think the other was from Czech Republic. And then we started talking.
You mentioned that you have been creating these kind of spaces all around the world, or at least in many places. Is it sort of, how could I say, when you make a space like this in Helsinki, would it be different if you would made it in sort of like a Bangkok or Sydney?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's even different from Denmark.
Okay. So,
and that's also the reason why I'm here, because the weaving culture is much more present in the Finnish culture.
Okay.
So I experienced that here. Everybody has a memory of weaving. Their mothers have been weaving, or grandmothers. And most people have also tried weaving in school.
Yeah.
And that you don't see in Denmark.
Okay.
So it's much easier to activate that memory and also generate an interest. So that it's a big difference. And then I've been working in Japan and in South Korea and in China, and it's different everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think, I really think there's something special here with Finland.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. But it's, maybe it needs an artist from Denmark to come here and tell us that, hey, you have this special relationship, because, I mean, we couldn't see the forest from the trees, or how do you say it? I don't know. But that's interesting. My only memory is that my grandmother used to make carpets.
Yeah. Rasumatto.
Yeah. Rasumatto. Yeah, that's, and I remember those the looms, the kangasput, it was like a huge thing in my grandparents' cellar, and somehow it broke, and it was like a big thing going on around it. But there's like many things that goes together with the idea of weaving, even though it's not a fabric, but it's a carpet. So, but that does count as weaving, right?
Definitely. And I think those are also the type of memories. Then people have sat under the loom while their grandmothers have been weaving, or a grandmother had a loom in the basement of a house here in Helsinki. I mean, the interesting thing is also that weaving has been existing and is existing as part of the city still. Maybe you don't see it that often, but there are looms around.
Watch out for the loom.
Yes.
Yeah. And also there are many courses. They're like super popular that you can just like go and do carpets and probably also other things as well, not only carpets.
Definitely.
So in the studio I have with me textile designer Rosa Tollamo-Clausen. Besides the weaving club, Kuronta Kerho, can we see your work somewhere else as well? Anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world. Yes. Yeah, so I'm running a project called the Weaving Kiosk, Kuronta Kiosk, where I am setting up weaving spaces around in different cities. And right now I'm collaborating a lot with Stora in Itäkeskus and Vuorotalo in Vuosaari. So in the autumn, I will do a series of kiosks in Vuosaari where anybody can come around and weave whatever they want to. This is more product oriented. So you make something that you bring with you home. And this takes place on little Japanese table looms, which is also a nice tool. And then in the summer, I will be doing a project with a children's culture house in Ystad in Sweden.
Okay.
Where we are going to build a loom from old looms together with children and weave on that.
Yeah.
And then next year I will go to London to the V&A and do a project about looms.
Lots of looms in your life.
Lots of looms in the life, yes.
But that sounds super interesting. It's super interesting. So practical information about the workshops and when you will be there present in Kuronta Kerho Weaving Club. All that information will be found on Harm Helsinki website.
Yes, I'm glad you didn't ask me to remember the dates, but I know that next time that I'm there is on the 4th of June.
4th of June.
From 2 to 6. Yeah. But the room, the Kodonta Kerho, is staffed every day. So yeah, there are really nice people yeah in the space.
And it's free. You don't have to like buy a ticket especially to see that space.
I think you do have to buy a ticket.
Yeah. Is it like the whole sort of the exhibition and yeah then you can go with the ticket
yeah
to the... Yeah,
into the space. Yeah, and of course, if you have a museum card, you can go in and out as yes much as you want.
Yes, all the joys of museum card.
Yes,
but hey, thank you so much, Rosa Tolmu-Clausen, for being here. And yeah, I'm totally super interested in go and weave something. Is there like a way, or there must be like a website somewhere that you can find information how to build your own loom, like
definitely
sort of like a DIY style, yeah, sort of, you know,
and out of Lego and of wood and cardboard and whatever you can imagine.
Okay. So yeah, me and my dog Heppu, we can go home and start like collecting stuff around our house and make a loom.
Exactly.
Oh wow, that's so interesting. Okay. Hei, and once again, thank you, Rosa, for coming here.
Thank you.
Yhteistyössä HAM, Helsingin kokoinen taidemuseo. hamhelsinki.fi